This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Bobby Belt set to join us here on the Diamond Factory Hotline as we are into the final hour, the power hour, hour number five of the G-Bag Nation. Although, Ryan Broaddus, he's still got three more hours left.
Yeah, let's see. He's been going for now 12 and a half.
Mm-hmm. You've been doing an incredible job, Brian.
Thank you. Appreciate
honestly,
that.
Honestly, you still haven't snapped on anybody, and I'm a little bit...
we're good.
A little bit surprised.
No, we're good.
Maybe it was that Pecan Lodge brisket sandwich.
Yeah.
Excellent, man.
Tola Mark dropping
yeah,
that
Mark,
by was
thank
huge.
Thank you so much.
That's what did it.
I think it's something like if you... When you're in the cold and it hurts really bad for a while, but then you just get numb. And I imagine that's where you're at now, Broaddus. You're just a little bit numb to it. Like you do a cold plunge or something.
You know what? This is very similar. What we do is for the draft. You know, when we go work with the Cowboys and you get like a 9-hour day, you know, you start and then you kind of go through and then but you do it for 3 days straight.
Yeah.
That's true. It's like so you never leave.
You were built for this.
Yeah. It just kind of, this kind of conditions you to when you're going to do that here in a couple months.
Okay. Fair enough. That'll be exciting. I know our buddy Bobby Belt has also experienced that as well as he joins us now, our Dallas Cowboys insider. And Bobby, we just got the list of potential guests we're going to have for Radio Row. Your good friend Dan Orlovsky going to be hopping on the morning show. How you pumped? Are you feeling good about it or what?
Yeah, how you pumped?
Yeah, it's great.
You pumping iron right now for it?
Yeah, pumped. I'm so excited.
So you're not excited?
I am. Thrilled. Can't wait.
Is that going to be the most contentious on-air moment of your career?
I'm thrilled. I can't wait, guys.
Man, nothing gets Bobby riled up quite like a Dak disrespect.
What's up with the driving slow in the left lane situation?
Okay, so this has sort of been misconstrued over time. What I said a couple months back on the radio was that left lane is obviously for passing, and you're going fast and everything like that. What I said is that if somebody is zooming up behind me going like 110 and they're kind of weaving in and out of the lanes and then they like are in the left lane and they're trying to get past me or whatever, I'm going to make them like they're going to have to get past me because I'm not going to try and predict their next bob and weave by getting out of the way and then getting clipped by a 110 mile per hour car. So if you're one of those jackasses who comes up fast like that and is like pushing like 105, I'm not moving. Sorry.
I would expect that from Bobby. I mean, he's gonna troll no matter what, you know, or where he is. So that makes a ton of sense.
That's not even totally
a
troll. That's also, I don't want to get clipped by the psycho driving 110 or whatever.
It's
and then
just move
then
the hell out the way, Bobby. All right, move out the way and don't be
no.
a jerk.
No, get out the way. Nope, not happening.
You know, Bobby, obviously you've had this happen to you before. How quickly did you pick up that driver going behind you at 110? Or 105, whatever.
Was I able to tell they were going that fast?
Well, no, I've been on the highway before, like 635, and mm-hmm. people go flying by you, and but you can't even react. You know, they're going by you, they're going behind you, and then to the left of you so fast you can't even react. I mean, how you just gonna.
Yeah, so if I see in the rearview mirror, like, somebody weaving. That's what I'm saying. If I see them weaving in through traffic or whatever, and then they get to the left lane, and they're just, like, if there's a stack of cars in the two right lanes, and they're trying to come up, I'm not going to just, like, move for them and their unpredictable car movements. Because then if I start trying to move out of the way, they might go, you know, 50 miles per hour faster than me and try to move into the same lane and then hit me. So I'm not doing that. They can either just slow the F down or they can move themselves.
All right, Bobby Belt.
I've been in been on the highway and cars chasing each other.
Oh yeah, they're like, racing.
Yeah,
they're zooming.
They're rooming.
Or they just get ticked off at one another. And yeah, now.
Oh my gosh! Okay.
That's what I'm talking about. That chase.
Cars chasing each other. Yeah. Cars chasing each other. Now I gotta tell you the coolest thing I ever saw on the highway, and it's completely like reckless and dangerous, but it was cool. So 635 and 35, where 35 kind of splits off. There's this one guy clearly chasing this other as it was coming up to the 35 split. And he was in the HOV lane, and he was flooring it, and the guy behind him was chasing him. And then what he did was, right as the HOV lane, those little poles came up, he ripped off to 35 heading south, and the guy got stuck in the HOV lane going down 635. the guy behind him chasing him. It was a really cool move to see live.
Interesting. Bobby, any more buzz happening with this offensive coordinator situation, or should we just not expect more news really until post-Super Bowl?
No, I think you may, there may be something next week, but I mean, like, I think right now they're kind of in a little bit of a holding pattern, just kind of getting their ducks in a row. But yeah, I wouldn't think we're going to hear any large developments, you know, today or over the weekend or anything else. And so kind of cooled, kind of quiet. I think they're figuring some things out. They've obviously been focused a lot on Senior Bowl and their meetings there. That's kind of where I think their focus is right now.
Hey, Bobby, I'm going to ask you a really strange question because it's that time for me. I'm getting there.
He's getting weird.
But with the Arizona job not filled, is there still a chance they lose Dan Quinn?
I wouldn't think so. I mean, I don't think so. I mean, we've obviously seen cases of, like, Bill Belichick taking the Jets job for, like, a day.
Yeah.
We've seen guys seemingly have jobs for a couple days and then bail, like Josh McDaniels. Wow, weird that those two guys worked together for so long, huh? And then they both did weird things like that. But I think that Dan Quinn's committed. He's here. And I mean, I guess anything's possible. You would say 0.01%. Maybe that's out there. I think Dan Quinn's here. And I think Dan Quinn, even though he probably would not say this, maybe not even, he wouldn't say it publicly, he may not even say it privately, but just internally, I think he's probably thinking in his own head as well that this could potentially be a job that I could be up for in a year, is the one that I'm you know,
the Cowboy
coaching
one, yeah.
under right now. Yeah, and so, I mean, would you want the Cowboys job, or would you want to be tied to the Cardinals and some of the difficulties that seem to be going on there, especially with the idea of how difficult, it's talked about that Kyler Murray has been in recent years.
We talked earlier about a Dan Quinn offseason wish list. What would be at the top of your wish list if you were Dan Quinn?
A linebacker, a cornerback. I mean, just in general, I think a lot of what was wrong with the defense in the second half of the year was they just became banged up, and you were kind of mixing and matching and things like that. I trust whatever Dan Quinn wants to put out there, whatever Dan Quinn gives his, you know, seal of approval for in terms of a personnel move, I'm going to trust that it's going to work out okay. But I think you're going to look at, you'd want another corner, whether that's the draft or free agency. You'd want to shore up linebacker. Linebacker was such a tough spot for them. If Leighton Vander Esch wasn't playing or wasn't playing well, the defense was usually playing really poorly. And so I think you want to try and strengthen the linebacker core. And that would kind of be where my focus is at, corner, linebacker. And then, I mean, you know, making sure that you build on some of the good things you saw from Oso Digizua in the second half of the season, some of the good things you saw at times from Carlos Watkins, the good things you saw after you acquired Jonathan Hankins, just making sure that some of that better interior play keeps up, whether by, you know, retaining those guys and making sure that they're building on that, or when you're adding guys, making sure you're adding more quality there instead of some of the issues they've had with Neville Gallimore and Quentin Bohanna and some of the other guys.
So would LVE be a more important re-sign to you than Donovan Wilson? It's tough.
They're neck and neck. They're neck and neck for me. No pun intended. I think that the Donovan Wilson is such he sets the tone so much for that defense with his physicality, and I wouldn't want to lose that tenacity and that aggressiveness. But in terms of, if you tell me you take Donovan Wilson off the field or Leighton Vander Esch off the field in just a random game last year, I'm guessing the defense plays a lot worse with Leighton Vander Esch not there than with Donovan Wilson not there. And that's not an indictment on Donovan Wilson. I think really highly of him. But I mean, they have, you know, Israel Mukwamu, who can play some safety. Who is a safety and has been playing some corner, but Israel Mukwamu can play that. They like Marquise Bell and what they have there potentially. Jayron Kearse, Malik Hooker's been, you know, had some ups and downs last year, but I think had started to find his groove a little bit. And so I think that you've got more answers if Donovan Wilson leaves, more in-house answers if he leaves than if Leighton Vander Esch leaves. And I think that your defense plays better when Leighton Vander Esch is on the field, as opposed to, you know, if it's Donovan Wilson on the field, no Leighton Vander Esch.
We just got a question from the TruckRack.com text line, and it's a good point, but I believe Jonathan Hankins was just on a one-year deal. How high on the priority list do you think he is to bring back after they traded for him?
I mean, I think they saw that, hey, when they brought him here, there was a change and things improved. And then when he was lost to the pec injury, things got worse. And so I think that, you know, it's easy to, just like Leighton Vander Esch, kind of connect the dots and go, oh, okay, when he's out here, the defense is playing better. There's fewer issues. Everything seems to run better. And so I think that he's got to be somebody that they're looking at as somebody they'd like to retain. But I mean, as Brian talked about this week after Jerry's comments about, you know, Jason Peters and Tyron Smith and Ezekiel Elliott and things like that, that a lot of that's to be determined what they think about that, because they got to have their meetings. I mean, individual coaches may like somebody sticking around, but in terms of just kind of collectively coming together and getting an idea of where the front office wants to go with some of these moves, I think just about everybody is to be determined.
Bobby, this... When you look at this offensive line, and, you know, to me, I'm trying to kind of figure out what you're going to do. You mentioned with Tyron Smith, and is it – and I'm not really worried about Jason Peters, but the Tyron Smith thing, if in fact that Tyron Smith does stay, do you move him back to left tackle? Is that – and, you know, immediately now it's Terrence Steele at right tackle again?
I don't think you should. I think you've already committed to this process, you know, in terms of getting Tyler Smith as your future left tackle. And I don't want to go backwards. And even though Tyron Smith looked good at times, there were other times he looked really bad. It was really inconsistent play from Tyron Smith. There's no, you can't combine any two players on the roster and get a bigger cap savings with a pre-June 1 cut than you can just by cutting Tyron Smith. And so, I mean, if it frees up damn near $10 million, you've got two tackles in place, two young tackles. And so to me, I think that you're just, you know, prolonging the inevitable. Just move on, rip the Band-Aid off. And I know I've been calling for this for like 2 years, basically, Brian. But just go ahead, move on. You've got your tackles. Start figuring out what you want to do on the interior with the guards. Say thanks for your time, your service to Tyron Smith. Collect that $10 million. And be on your way. I don't want to, even on a pay cut, I don't want this to, you know, I don't want to try and figure anything out. Let's just move forward. Availability is important. That was their buzzword all last year, and Tyron Smith has shown for 7 years he can't be available.
Availability. You're 100% right. What was your favorite part of Brian Broaddus and his availability for you this morning?
The next segment, probably. That you guys are going to do, where you listen to some of the things that Brian had to say about G-Bag superlatives. But I will say this, Brian did a fantastic job, got rave reviews on all three platforms, the Twitch, the YouTube, the fan text. Everybody was giving him a ton of praise, and I know he continued to give praise on KNC, but a real trooper, knocked it out, made it easy for us. We all kept talking during the breaks about, like, this is the fastest show we've ever been a part of.
Yeah.
Because we're all used to all three of us trying to, you know, talk through some things, and especially for Sean and RJ, they're just now getting used to even having three people in there. To have four in there and then able to discuss a lot of different things, that made things fly by. It was fun this morning.
Well, we don't mind sharing. Sharing is caring, but that's not a permanent deal. All right, he's ours, and we're not giving him up.
You can't have him forever.
Well, I mean, until Super Bowl, right? Because we're supposed to cross-pollinate, guys.
We are.
So Brian, if you want to come over on our show and just bail on G-Bag for a day, feel free, man.
Dude, don't look at me like that.
I was thinking about Bobby because I know that you're going to have to – I mean, it's going to be quick turnarounds for you and Sean and RJ. And I know they're probably – being veterans in this game, they're probably less
are
likely.
Are you going to offer to sit in for me on the Orlovsky
dude,
interview?
You have no,
I'm not sitting in.
Not get up and go.
I'm trying to convince myself to, like, if Bobby goes hard in the paint, like for the media party or something, I'm like, Bobby, I'll stick it out for you. No, I am too.
Y'all think I'm going to the media party.
You are funny. Going to the media party, you jerk.
Bobby, what is wrong with you?
Let me I'll trade with you, Bobby. I'll tell you what I'm going to trade. We're going to interview Christian McCaffrey's mom.
We've got Lisa McCaffrey.
Hey, that should have been the bet, not hit on Walchuk's mom for 10 minutes. It should have been hit on Christian McCaffrey's mom.
I wonder
mom.
How long it's going to take her to figure out the trolls that were going after her son.
She's going behind enemy lines.
Yeah.
I wonder if she's going to be aware of it.
I've got bits prepared.
No, I actually, I'm going to do the Orlovsky interview. I'm not looking to trade out of that because I'm not going to run away from that. That'll be fun. I can't wait.
Over under 1.5 dumps get hit tomorrow when you and Drunken Walchuk and Drunken Corey Majors get together for the round tables.
Well, I mean, it depends on how drunk I can get on 2 shots of vodka.
Yeah, I think that's soda. All you're having tomorrow. Soda guy now.
Trust me, Bobby, we can get ratchet.
I know you can, Zach, because like you've been on it for an extended period of time. I'm a week. Like I just had like
no, those two shots like a week ago. When we're drinking our meals, you're gonna feel those 2 shots, buddy.
Okay. All right. I'm excited. I can't wait. I guess the question is more dumps in the segment from FanBowl or more dumps with Orlovsky on Wednesday, I guess is the question.
All right, fair enough. Bobby, anything else before we let you go?
Just that I love you all.
I love you more. There he goes, the great Bobby Belt, our Cowboys insider, who is trying to dip out of the media. What is wrong with him? Is he just not social? Jerry's not going to be there, to our knowledge.
Yeah, he just he's got these weird things where he just can't get over them. He's got these fears. Like, even in the press box at AT&T Stadium for the Cowboys game, he won't go to the carving station.
Yeah.
Because he feels weird like standing there and holding a plate and somebody carving his meat and then handing it to him. So he won't do it. It's a weird thing that he has.
I don't do it.
If it was
either.
A self-serve carving station, he would be down for it. But because somebody else has to, it's like he's scared of the awkward interaction.
You don't think we're nervous about it? I'm freaking out. What if we bump into Joy Taylor? What am I going to do? I'm going to crap my pants right there in front of everyone.
Oh, no, that's true. The media party is going to be a who's who.
Don't feel bad. Half our show already pees on themselves. It's okay.
That's true.
Sorry,
and
dude.
And on that note,
we need pee bibs, man. We need to invent that.
Let's go ahead and react to whatever the hell Brian did this morning. It was G-Bag Superlatives. How does he feel about us? Behind Brian Broaddus' thoughts. Next on The Fan.
Winding down a football Friday in the G-Bag Nation. Fantastic to have you with us. Thank you so much for hanging out today and all week long throughout the ice-pocalypse situation that we were all in together. And I hope no one fell the same way I did.
D'Alaska.
D'Alaska, as a couple of Tolos were referencing earlier. I do like that.
I'm going to steal that one.
Tomorrow at FanBowl, Texas Live, and Revolver Brewing from 2 to who knows when, whenever the lights go out on the party.
The party's over.
You'll see me limping around a little bit, and it's not just because of the tailbone. It's also because I think I might have torn an MCL, a PCL, an ACL. Who knows, man?
Come on.
Hopefully it was just a sprain.
I just took a swing at Ruben.
Because your first round matchup.
Yeah, I kind of maybe Galooly.
There you go.
Galooly?
Ruben's you know, sending all kinds of.
You know what the Galooly is, right?
I'm not familiar with the Galooly.
Nancy Kerrigan. She got hit in the knee with a.
Why?
Oh, was it a Galooly?
The Jeff Galooly, yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Jeff Galooly's the one that did that.
Yeah, I kind of maybe got him.
There you go. Well, you got to do it. Don't do it to his knee. Do it to his finger.
Well, he can't stand up. He can't play the game.
No, is it a sitting game or a standing game?
It's a standing game.
It's a standing game.
But
okay.
You could probably do it sitting if you had to. I think you need to go for an elbow.
How about break a hand?
That's what I'm going to do to Sean.
Just make sure it's the proper hand.
Like a casino? Look what they did to my hand, man.
Exactly.
You got to make sure Sean can't compete. Yeah,
how can you see Sean's hands? How do you?
I'm going to get an assist from Amanda.
How do you find that? I mean, Sean.
Find his hand?
Yeah. Sean, show me your hands.
That's why I asked the wife.
Sean, show me your hands. I am showing you my hands.
Broaddus played a game this morning with Sean, RJ, and Bobby, and it was some, like, know your teammates questions about the G-Bag Nation. And so I pulled these questions and answers, and we'll see how they are. But before that, I did want to note that Adrian Wojnarowski has reported that among several teams, there's far more interest, how about this, in acquiring or in inquiring on Kevin Durant's reaction to Kyrie Irving's trade request and how that may impact KD's future with
there
the Nets.
Go.
So Kyrie Irving is demanding the trade, and teams are more interested in what that means for KD and his desire to remain in Brooklyn than they are interested in maybe acquiring Kyrie Irving, which is pretty dang funny.
Well, yeah, you'd obviously want KD. About it. If like KD's thinking, well, now I want out.
When that whole thing,
that's the guy to go for.
When the season started poorly, that's where all the talks, right?
Yep.
It wasn't about they hired Jacques Vaughn, and then you're like, okay. Then they turned this thing around. They went on a streak where they were like 17-4 at one time. So I think everything was going along well, And now, you know, KD goes out, and now here you are.
It's funny, though, because Tristan Thompson, we've seen him. He's, like, making the rounds on ESPN today. So they asked him about a possible Kyrie-Cavs reunion, and he said, I actually texted him, and Tristan Thompson said he put a heart emoji, so I know he read it. Mm. Who knows? Maybe the Cavs are going to get in the mix there.
Oh, man. Him and Donovan Mitchell together would be fun.
Donovan, Donovan Mitchell lost it last night, man.
Yeah, it was great.
Was that a cheap play, though?
Dylan Brooks intentionally wrecked.
Dylan Brooks has been suspended, by the way, as well.
He has? Okay.
Yeah, he kind of wrecked him a little bit.
But hey, Kyrie just called KD, like, his best friend a week and a half ago or something like that?
Yeah.
Wow. Maybe this week, earlier this week. You know, my days run all together.
Okay, so also,
do you think if Kyrie had a MySpace, like his friends list would be moving around like every 24 hours? It would look different.
Why am I not on your top eight, cuz? What happened?
Just wait till tomorrow.
Rotating list.
Yeah.
Here's the latest, though, on Kyrie from Mark Stein. It's believed that Brooklyn would covet Spencer Dinwiddie and Dorian Finney-Smith in a trade with the Mavs for Kyrie Irving.
Yeah. The only two respectable players not named Luka Doncic on the roster right now is who they would want.
Or Josh Green.
I guess that's
Bobby
fair.
Marks was on with us earlier, and he was saying that he wouldn't give up.
Wouldn't give up Dinwiddie or Dodo, let alone both of them. So, but that's the challenge right now.
But if you're Brooklyn, you got to ask, right?
Definitely. Absolutely. Even though, again, you have, like, Kyrie's the girl who's going to all the guys and saying, I really want the date to the dance. And they're all like, yeah, but what about your friend?
He's a free agent here on Valentine's Day.
The friend is the Slim Reaper, Kevin Durant, who's a bucket getter, unlike almost anything we've ever seen before. Okay, let's get into what took place this morning. Somebody tweeted me at 9:30 and said, Broadus is talking all the bleep to you or about you. And I was like, whoa, Broadus talking bleep about me? There's no way. It's impossible. He's a gentleman. He's a scholar. Then I went back and listened, and it turns out that it was just a great game show that they were playing with Broadus, asking him questions, who's most likely, who's least likely, all this about the G-Bag Nation and his teammates. The first question, and I do wonder, why I was the response here, but who's the least likely to, like, who's the least likely person in the G-Bag Nation, Broadus, that you would lend money to?
Eric.
Why?
I don't think he'd ever pay me back. And I love Eric. And if Eric, you're out there, I would give you money all day, but I don't think you'll ever pay me back.
I'll take it all day.
I think he's right, though.
It's just because I'm not good for it, right? Like, I'm asking for the money.
Yeah, you're just the cheapest person out of all of us.
I think it'd be kind of like giving it to Bennett. I love Bennett, but I know I'm never going to get it back.
I'm never going to see that again.
Never going to see it again.
This is a gift, not like an expecting.
Everybody else, like, you would, like, give him money you expect to give it. With you, I would just kind of go, you know what, hey. It's like giving it to my son. It really is.
I'm probably not going to see that for a decade.
I'm not, you know, it's like, how much you need? Here you go. I'm just going to give it to you.
No, I didn't take any offense to that.
I mean,
it was 100% true.
Rides to work for how long? So you didn't have to use your gas. So, I mean, it's a fair answer.
100% it is. 100% it is. And I make up for it in other ways. Like, when your truck gets stolen, I'll hang around with you for a little
while. You did. You hung around
with
me.
Not the whole time.
I told that story about my truck getting stolen, and it doesn't get any easier.
No, it doesn't.
And then to know that the engine ended up in some place in Grand Prairie was even better.
Wild.
Eric chills by. He gives you a shoulder rub.
Yeah.
Okay, man. That's a good truck, dude.
Eric put his arm around me, and I started crying.
You got insurance, right? You'd be okay, bro.
Exactly.
About that 50 bucks.
I'm not going to buy you dinner that night, but I am going to do everything I can to try and make you feel a little bit better. Now, who, according to Brian Broadus, has the worst takes on the G-Bag Nation?
That would be Woolchuck.
Does he really? Where does he really struggle?
He really, because when he gets really passionate into it, you could tell he starts. His hand, you can tell he's coming up out of his seat. And so you're like, you know, you're kind of got to gauge him. Now, Dawson, I don't want to debate Dawson because Dawson's really good at making your words sound like you're an idiot.
Yeah.
So
he's got the best vocabulary.
You stay away from him. He will make you feel like, but Woolchuck has got such passion, and he gets like, you could tell he's just about to come over the desk at you.
I actually take this as a compliment. And it wasn't takes. It was just debates.
No, some of the takes, like, you believe stuff you say.
Yeah.
And we all do. We all do.
You actually believe the crap that comes out of your
mouth. No, that's what I'm saying. Most of the time. But they're, like, so passionate about it. Yeah. I say a lot of dumb
things.
I'm
not offended by it.
No, I say a lot of dumb things too.
I'm okay with that.
Okay. When you see him come out of his chair a little bit, Broadus, that's not because he's passionate about a take. It's because he ripped one and he levitated a little bit. He got some hang time.
No,
because
I'll start laughing and giggling when that happens. So you know 100% that it's because I accidentally had an issue.
Wolchuk always kind of looks over at me, and the look alone, usually I hear it anyways, but the look alone, I'm like,
Eric,
oh, okay.
We'll look just back and be like, did you fart?
Yeah.
And I just,
yeah, you did. 100%.
I see how you brought up Dawson there, Mr. Broadus.
Yeah. You don't want to debate.
You're scared about
100% because you don't know. Like, it'll take 3 days and you realize that fool was talking about me.
Yeah. Oh, no. I'm starting to listen a lot more. He'll say something. Like, his one of his best lines is, like, he'll rip somebody, and he says, but it's my guy.
Yeah, it's my guy, yeah.
It's my guy. And you're like, he's not your guy.
Superb athlete, yeah. It's my guy.
I hate to admit it, but he is my guy, though. Yeah. He is my guy. Here is Broadus's thoughts on who's the most likely from the G-Bag Nation to get canceled from a tweet.
Oh, that's
Dawson.
Dawson, for sure. Oh, yeah. Dawson's not afraid. Dawson will tweet one or two times a day, and it's usually going after somebody.
I left Bobby's laughing there just because I know he'd probably hate that, and I want to make fun of him. And if you want to isolate that, Lucius, feel free. Just a goofy-ass, like, half-laugh there from Bobby, which maybe would make an appearance if we did a laugh bracket one of these days.
Maybe. Maybe he would.
But, yeah, I think you're right. Dawson likes to stir it up on the Twitters.
He will. He gets in – for somebody that doesn't tweet very much, he's in an argument every day with somebody, and then he'll just let it go.
I would have gone with Gavin for the last two answers.
Yeah. that's funny. Yeah, like if I just look at some of the
that's the beef.
Like in the last 48 hours, Dawson has tweeted and he didn't tag anybody. He just says, I mean, if you think Dak has played so good that he should not face criticism,
there you
that
go.
Is rich, man.
There you go.
Like unprovoked.
You know somebody's in his DMs or something that's got him going.
No. Somebody's following him. Somebody's following him and he's gotten an argument and he doesn't want to tag him in it.
Yeah.
That's what he's done.
Yep.
Yeah.
But I love it. Don't hold back, Gavin.
That
never
is a
change.
Great tweet, man. I mean, if you think Dak has played so good that he should not face criticism, that is rich, man. And that's just unprovoked, seemingly. That is really, really good. I love it. Thank you, Gavin Dawson.
Oh, Gavin.
Let's see here. Who's the most likely? Who's the most likely or who would you most be interested in from the G-Bag Nation to marry your hypothetical daughter, Brian Broadus?
I would let her, Lucius.
I thought about that so hard.
And I'll tell you why. Lucius is one of those guys. He's really good with finance. I mean, you ask him questions about finance and stocks and bonds and stuff. He's really, really versed on that stuff. He loves documentaries, so he's really kind of a well-read guy. So I kind of feel like that my kids would be, like my grandkids would be super, super smart, you know? Like, and so I just kind of, and he likes food. He likes to cook. He likes being around stuff like that. So I think he would help her.
Okay, so he had me on everything, and then he said he likes to cook.
But you don't like
and
to
I
cook,
went,
right?
The
I like
air
to
fryer.
Eat. I will help you cook. I will buy everything that you need to do, and I will sit there and support and drink tequila with you and conversate until
all of
the food
that
is
was
done.
Very true, though. Yeah. Besides the cooking,
I'm a relationship guy. I'm a one girl kind of guy. You know,
absolutely.
I like to educate myself. I don't leave the house. I'm a homeboy.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm in all of this.
And you said good with finances.
Yeah.
You should have seen me the first time I learned about compound interest and how I should have paid that back.
Sure.
Yeah, that was pretty bad.
But you learned. That's the whole thing.
That's pretty bad.
Yeah. Was it a car?
So you say that, it goes way over my head.
Well, that letter came to the house. It was like, hey, homeboy, we're going to need some of that money that you got.
Oh, you're like, wait, hopefully this is one of those spams, right? Yeah. This is one I can ignore.
972 Lucius would have brought us his daughter microdosing.
Well, possibly. That's possibly.
Yeah, eating all the cookies. Yeah.
Eating all the cookies.
But the fishing as well.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, see, we can bond with the dad.
Yeah.
I'm going to go fishing with your pops.
Heading out to the lake.
And I'm going to push him out of the boat.
Yeah.
what are your intentions?
Your dad wears my ass out.
Shotgun to the back.
can we
Fredo.
Hear?
Yeah.
Fredo.
Listen to how tough this was, though, for Broadus. Can you just isolate the very start to that answer? Listen to, he's like, crap, I have to give a name here. This is my daughter. I love her very much. Listen to him. He's really caught up in the air on this one.
I would let her, Lucius. And I'll tell you why.
He's like, I've seen what Eric's gotten himself into. I hear Wolchuk's dating stories, and well, Gavin's Gavin.
Gavin yeah. wants nothing to do with anybody.
Yeah.
So my daughter would be probably lonely.
That's yeah. true. Yeah.
I like how you justified it right after you said my name. You didn't even, like, let it breathe. Yeah. Lucius, but let me tell you why. Let me tell you why real quick. Let me tell you why.
No, but Lucius is the answer.
Lucius, you're the right answer.
No, you are.
You are the right answer. I've seen the rest of these slugs I don't know about, you know?
No, I'm just finally getting out of mom and dad's.
But so Dawson would be the one you'd least like to date your daughter?
I think Dawson.
Or is it Wolchuk?
I think Dawson really.
It'd be you.
I think it's Dawson because I don't think he. I think he Dawson in his life wants to be alone.
Yeah.
I don't think. I mean,
no, that's fair.
And if I'm your son-in-law, I'm gonna inundate you with grandchildren.
It's gonna cost me so much money again.
Yeah.
Because Christmas the grandkids. Yes, exactly.
All the money you'll never get back.
I can see. Hey, Grandpa, could you take care of the kids? It's like, you know. Five of them that I'm like holding on to. Yeah.
You'd be like, enough, man.
Yeah. Settle down.
Let me chill, bro.
Let me pay for that vasectomy, you know?
Yeah. And Broadus knows how much I love going
Give
around
her
the
break.
Rim. He wouldn't like that.
God.
Okay. Who would have your back in a fight? Brian Broadus.
Chiafalo.
G bag teammate who would run away.
Do you think Chiafalo can fight?
Yes. I think he would be cheap. I think he would fight really
dirty.
I think he would. I think Eric. Now, the problem is Eric is like 26, 27 years old. He's already broken down. He fell down on the ice, so he's got back problems. He's got a tailbone problem, knee problem.
Three kids.
I think that if you were like at the Super Bowl and somebody was like, you were getting harassed, I think Eric would just like crazy man fight somebody.
Who's the teammate that would run away from the fight?
Me.
No, but you're in a fight, so who's running away for a bit?
I could see Wolchuk trying to talk his way out of it. I could see Dawson.
Says that he doesn't want confrontation.
I could see Dawson like putting his hands like, okay, bro, you're right. You're good, man. Yeah. We're good. We're getting out of here. We're fine. Yeah.
You're 100% right.
Yeah.
It depending on who it is.
I don't want to fight anymore.
I'm trying to talk my way out of that thing. Otherwise, I'm going full crazy.
I think that, you know? Like I say, I think Eric would go ham on somebody. I think if Eric felt like that one of us was like, he would like, let's like sucker punch somebody.
Yeah, the problem is you caught me at a bad time. Like, if something goes down at the Super Bowl.
Oh, you're broken down.
Well, now you're broken.
Yeah. With the tailbone,
we don't need to fight
the
Super Bowl. We don't need to fight the Super Bowl. That's
no, but if I get liquored up, I will start some stuff, and it's not a good situation. But I would have gone with Lucius there as well.
I
personally would have chosen Lucius there as well.
Yeah, I'd fight cheap, too.
Okay,
I'm throwing chairs, I'm doing a pin. I'm doing anything you can because there are no rules in fighting, especially a street fight. If I came for a beer and now you're fighting me, it's rules off.
Game on, bro.
I think that's great. I just thought that you, with you, what's going on here?
Yeah.
And then you would, and as soon as they said, well, as soon as they turned, you would just drop somebody.
Also, probably the most easily triggered.
Me?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, if somebody says something that you like don't like, You're gonna go off.
I'm saying. I could see you snapping.
You'll go off.
I really could.
Especially if you're already kind of having one of those days.
Oh, yeah. If you catch me at a bad time.
Yeah.
Do you tell the crew first that there's a problem? Like the people that you're with? Hey, man, this guy over here in the pink is kind of talking kind of weird.
Yeah.
Just let you know before I go over there.
Yeah. I think you want to have a pregame show before you get to the kickoff.
Yeah. I always do that.
Man, I tell you, well, you guys are because I kind of felt like that you wouldn't. I felt like that we would all be in a group and then somebody would say something. And then that would just get it. That's it. And now we're all fighting a group as a group. We're all kind of in a melee.
Somebody texted in that Eric, you and I would be like 21 and 22 Jump Street, like Jonah Hill and
Tatum.
Tatum. Yeah.
I like that.
I could actually see that.
Yeah, it'd be sweet.
I'd be in the Peter Pan tights.
I definitely could see Wolchuk like, hey, come on. Come on, man.
Guys.
Yeah, come on.
Can't we settle this over a pint?
And then just kick him in the nuts and run away.
I would run.
Or do you want to catch me outside?
Nowadays, I would run.
That's the thing, man. Dawson, I think it could be brought out of all of us.
No doubt. Honestly, my top two, though, would be probably Lucius and then Gavin. And then Eric.
But Gavin going to tear this place apart. I'm telling you right now.
Yeah,
Gavin
would
tear this whole place apart.
Gavin would?
Yeah, what?
If he gets, I think getting him there takes a lot, but when he's there, it could be game over.
I would not think that, maybe, yeah.
Okay. Maybe it's the not drinking.
Wildcat syndrome, you know, just kind of go nuts.
Yep.
I just thought about size and if somebody made you snap.
No, you're not wrong.
I don't think that was a bad answer. Punch. I mean, Gavin, yeah, probably wouldn't be good. You're right.
All right, who, as we wind down here in the G-Bag Superlatives, the most likely farter?
No, that's easy.
Oh, that's because
Zach.
Yeah, Zach. Zach, Zach doesn't care. Like before we go, like Dawson's like it's the G bag. He's bringing us back. Excuse me. Dawson bringing us back. Zach will just rip one right in the middle, and like we all have to sit here and endure. And he doesn't care.
Jeez.
He just doesn't care about it.
I hate those people.
I mean, he doesn't.
Mine don't stink.
That's true.
He didn't even walk outside. It's like we were coming back, and he got right next to Eric's head and let one go.
Walked
right
over to him, did it, and then came back to his spot.
Like Eric's sitting in the spot, and he went right on him, and
I'd
then
punch him
away.
If he did that.
Yeah.
He
deserved a punch that day. He really did. I don't know what. I must have been in a pretty good mood that day.
It was a good funny moment between us boys, just being guys, being dudes. Now, I will say, how many times has it been, like, bad?
There was
Eric, I know the night we've had
some
issues.
Okay. I was going to say, I mean, there's
but
been
on our
too many
show
accounts.
Here with G-Bag, own this and I accept this, yeah. But how much has it been like, wow, this is a smelly situation?
The soda diet has helped you tremendously.
30% of them.
But it's the veggie thing that you do and the shakes and all that.
The broccoli.
That's a lingering
thing. It's fine.
Thing.
The broccoli. Next time I'll go into the Pimp Cup and I'll let Lucius have a taste.
Oh,
that's come in here
cool.
with that.
Yeah. Man, if we did a top 10.
Might see Lucius snap.
Yeah, don't come in here with that, bro.
When we revisit the top 10 smells list, you'll find out that Wolchuk's number one is his own brand. And that's what's disappointing.
Wafting.
Segment's brought to you by the Frankels. There's a reason you need a special license to drive a big truck, so companies that hire drivers and put them in a big truck should be held accountable for what happens when one hurts you. Frankly, you need Frankel & Frankel. The consultation is always free. Visit truckwreck.com. Broadus will be in studio for the next few hours with the Get Right. We'll cross-talk with those fellas next right here on The Fan.
Thank you very much. We got Robo Jason Robertson doing his NHL skills competition right now. As he is our Dallas Stars representative, about to crosstalk with the Get Right, brought to you by Frankel & Frankel. There's a reason you need a special license to drive a big truck, so companies that hire drivers and put them in a big truck should be held accountable for what happens when one hurts you. Frankly, you need Frankel & Frankel. The consultation is always free. Visit truckwreck.com.
How do you want it?
Now let's welcome in the three-time Hall of Famer, Chris Arnold, and Kevin Gray, KG. Fellas, how you doing?
What's up, man? Y'all good?
We're all right. I mean, you got Brian for another couple hours here as you rock 7-9.
I know.
You guys got big plans for Brian? You going to make him work hard?
What did I tell you yesterday, Brian?
He's quarterbacking.
Yeah. I of course, I can do it. The thing, it's funny, I've never been so happy to, and I know KG, this kills you, but I've never been so happy to hear Boomer and my guy tonight.
Boomer Esiason and Mike Valenti. Kickoff with Boomer
Esiason. I'm so glad they on a Friday night they decided to do
I feel that.
Are you starting to feel it a little bit? Starting to just get a little tired?
No, I feel really good. I feel really good, yeah.
Well, how does this compare to a long football day? In other words, pregame, game,
yeah,
halftime,
that's 9 hours.
Postgame.
That's 9 hours. Mm-hmm. Usually, it's funny, when we do the pregame in the studio, it goes a lot faster than if we're at the game.
Oh, okay.
Because we have to get up and move around and we get from outside to inside and
press
go
spots.
Up yeah, and all that. Yeah. And then go down and all. Mm-hmm. But this, I compare this very much to doing the draft.
Oh, okay.
With the continuous, you know, you got a lot of people, and I've kind of felt like in that draft, we all kind of, all of us are in one room sitting there, but now I'm in a room where the participants are going in and out, you know. So with that draft, everybody's kind of hanging in there.
Well, we're going to have some fun at 8 o'clock tonight to timestamp something for you. I'm going to return a segment that we did one time when I was, you know, in with you and Gavin. You remember a little segment called Clapback Broadus.
Oh, geez.
Personal favorite.
Yeah, we're bringing that back tonight at 8 o'clock. So I got your...
you got the receipts?
Got some receipts from past Broadus tweets.
Oh,
and,
my God.
We're going to have some fun with Broadus.
I hope this is like... I went off the grid, as they would say, for about a week after that whole San Francisco thing.
Oh, yeah.
I just kind of like...
I got pre-San Fran, okay. Post-San Fran.
Okay.
Like,
right. He's just been waiting for the day.
Oh,
Broadus
man.
Decides.
I've been waiting for another Clapback Broadus segment. Right. And I got plenty... We're going to have some fun. That's going to be at 8 o'clock tonight. So
good deal.
Yeah, looking forward
Sweet.
To that.
Sweet. I'm pumped for that. What do you guys think about the Kyrie Irving and maybe the Mavericks being interested there?
Chaos. Love it. Introduce me to all the chaos. Why not?
I'm an ancient of chaos.
I mean, I know Chris may feel a little bit differently, but, you know, it almost feels like this year's a little bit of a wash. Even with them being the fourth seed right now, what, 2 games above 500, it almost feels like a wash this season. So why not introduce some chaos and bring in Kyrie Irving and just see what happens? And then maybe you can convince him to sign a long-term deal, you know, by the time you get to season's end.
My thoughts on it are at what cost. Mm-hmm. So once I know some details, I feel either better or worse. But my initial thoughts way back when the rumors were happening, you know, late last summer, mm-hmm. was I don't really want him here. And then it was before his comments or his post on Twitter and all that. It was like, the reason I was saying that is because in my mind, Kyrie Irving is set. First of all, you know, he's very eccentric. He has these thoughts about whatever. That's not even the point. In my mind, his availability is the question, because he's set. He won a championship. He did it with the last second shot. What does he have to play for? He's got plenty of money. He's a perennial top 10, top 15 player. He's great. And so I was like, well, why would he come to the Dallas Mavericks and give his all? He's not hungry. How hungry can you be when you're already full? I don't know. In other words, he's not wired like a LeBron or even a Luka where he's got to prove something to people. He's like, y'all know I'm Kyrie. So his goal might not be, again, not necessarily winning the championship. It might be, oh, I want to climb Mount Everest. You don't know. And then he's out. So he has been healthy for the last couple of months, playing like an all-star, playing all the way you'd want him to do. The question is he wanting to prove something? Is he hungry to try to win a championship? Or is he, I'm set, I'm good. He's been set and good in Brooklyn for 4 years, in Boston for a year and a half. All those moves outside of Cleveland. He's just Kyrie. And the only difference I feel about him now is we already knew that Jason Kidd was his idol when he was growing up. He loves Jason Kidd. So Jason Kidd could influence him.
Nico but here, got a good relationship with him.
That's where I'm going now. Mm-hmm. He's got an excellent relationship with Nico Harrison. So knowing that those two guys are running it and they know who they're dealing with and his respect for them and the fact that, yeah, he's got an expiring contract, well, depending upon the assets they give up, no harm, no foul.
I'm excited to hear more what you think about the Mavs and Clapback Broadus at 8 o'clock. Appreciate you, fellas. We have the Get Right coming up 7 to 9, leading into Boomer and Valenti. Brian, you got this, brother. You can do this.
Oh, this is yeah. We,
this is light work for Broadus
yeah,
now.
We're done.
Light work now.
We will see you all at Fan Bowl tomorrow. Revolver Brewing at Texas Live. We get the roundtable started at 2. The party goes until, well, you say it ends. That's how we're doing it here at 105.3 The
I
Fan.
Hear you, Lucius.
Thank you very much to Lucius Alexander, to Eric Chiafalo, Brian Broadus, Carter Freeman. I'm Zach Wolchuk. Until Monday morning, you're going home with the G-Bag Nation. Hugs and hand pounds, everybody.